Good morning, church. Man, that extra hour of sleep, how was that? Was that awesome? Yeah, I know. That's what the first service said, too. But anyway, this is the convenient move, right? You don't lose an hour, you gain an hour, so nobody's complaining. It's later that the complaints start coming in. And it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know why I'm talking about this, because it's not to do, but legislation is passed to not do the change. But it's got to happen in Congress. So it'll be a long day. Business meeting right after this service. We call it a business meeting, probably a bad term. It's really a ministry update meeting. So if you want to stay till after service, just hang out and we'll start within 5 minutes. Everybody is welcome to be here. So just want to remind you. Let's get real practical. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't need you to answer out loud, but just in your mind. Why are you here right now at PCC? I don't mean here in general. Here. And this is, why did you come to church? What motivated you to come to church? I mean, you all got up, you all got dressed, you all said, I'm going to church and not somewhere else. Why? I bet if I pass the microphone around, and we're going to do that, no. That there would be different answers. Some of you may say, I woke up and I need some encouragement today, spiritual encouragement, little uplift. Some may say, I'm floundering. I need to get back on track with the Lord. I want to go build my faith, grow in my faith. Some of you may say, I want to bring the kids. I think it's important the kids have a spiritual foundation, so I'm going for the kids. Some of you may say, I'm going to go look for my spouse. Find a wife, find a husband. Done looking in the bars. Different. Why do you think God wants you here? And let me just clarify, God does want you here, because we're told in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and them all the more as you see the day approaching. The day means the return of Christ approaching. So God wants you here. He doesn't want you to not meet or to give up meeting. So you're doing what God wants you to do. The real question is, why are you here? Are we doing it? The text says to encourage one another. What does that mean? What does that even look like? So we have different responses of why we're here, and God has a reason of why to be here. Do those line up? Are we making it happen? If it's a place to be that God wants, are we making it happen and doing it in the right way, in the most beneficial way, in the most productive way? I want to talk about that this morning. I've entitled this morning's message, Going to Church. And we're going to look at how to achieve your potential at PCC by looking at this topic of going to church and the reasons why and the perspectives about it. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 18. Now, our context is a little different than it has been in the past year when we've been going through 1 Timothy. We've been talking about Ephesus and the Ephesian church and all this. Now we're in a different location. We're in Corinth, which is similar in terms of location. It's a Roman colony. It's a port town. And the reason that is important is because when you have the ports, you have money. You have trade taking places. So this is a wealthy church. And with wealth and affluency also comes problems and kind of different, shall we say, pleasures. So there was a lot of immorality in Corinth. Right alongside that, you're bringing in ships and people from all around the world who bring in philosophies and understandings. So you got all kinds of religious diversity here. So you got money, you got immorality, You got spiritual immorality, very similar to today, I would argue. In fact, in many ways, very similar. Think about it. We live in a port town. We live in a very affluent community. Under the guise of everybody's fine, there's more immorality going on and different perspectives going on. So in many ways, it's very applicable to our church. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church, and he's giving them a metaphor or a illustration, if you will, of the church. The church means ecclesia, just means called out, gathering of people, okay? Now, there's been other metaphors used to associate with the church. You've got in 1 Corinthians 6, you got a family. So the church, we have a perspective of the church as a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You've heard that discussion. We got the metaphor in Ephesians 5 of the bride of Christ. So we're the bride and Christ is the groom. And it's important for the bride to be beautiful. And that's where our beautiful church series came from that we just finished up last week. We also have a metaphor in 1 Peter 5 of the flock. We're a flock. If we're sheep, he's our shepherd, and this is how it goes. But now I would say the most vivid metaphor and the most complete metaphor is the one of a physical body. And that's what Paul will be talking about. He'll equate us to our actual physical body and use this as an illustration of why we should be at church, how we should be at church, when we should be at church. And so let's dive into that right now. For just, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So he's talking about our physical body, but he's using this as a physical illustration of our spirituality. So just as the church is one, if you import that, and has many members, and all the members of the church, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. So there's a discussion being had here about unity, oneness, but also diversity, many members, like your body. Your body has a foot, your body has a hand, your body has different body parts, but one body. Unity, diversity. Keep that going. Verse 13. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. More on that in a second. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So now he's getting into how this happened. This oneness, diversity, we were all baptized. Now that's a passive verb, which means it happened to you. You didn't do it. It happened to you. Okay? You didn't ask for it. It happened. Then he goes on and he says, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Made to drink. That's a passive verb as well. That happened to you. So, okay. We're all different, but we're all one. And that happened to us. That isn't something we've done. When you became a Christian, you became a body part. When you became a Christian, you became part of the flock, part of the family, part of the bride. Are you getting what he's doing here? He's highlighting that if it's a family, if we're part of the family, then we were adopted in, to keep that metaphor going. So you didn't do it. It was done to you. And this is who you are and what you're about. So this starts to answer why to come to church. It's like saying coming to church is having my body function. Like, don't go lame on me, foot. It doesn't help the church. So I put it this way. How to achieve your potential at PCC. Recognize you have a specific role. It's a recognition. It's not something you do. It's something that's been done for you, but you can miss it. Let me illustrate it this way. I just took a trip to Bend, Oregon this last week. Was there for 3 or 4 days. Flew Alaska Airlines. Okay? Got a seat assignment and went. On Alaska. Seat assignment. If you fly Southwest, their approach is find your own seat. Right? If you didn't know that, that's how it goes. You can't get a seat assignment on Southwest. It's a cattle car. You get in line and get on and find your spot. It's a scramble. Right? Okay. I got a seat assignment on Alaska. You got to scramble in Southwest. Now, if I don't go and get on my airplane and sit in my seat, that's on me. But the seat is still assigned to me. You get where I'm going? Keep the metaphor going in a different way. You have a seat assignment on the flight called Christianity. Now, whether you sit in your seat or not, that's on you. But the seat has been assigned to you. You didn't get it. Galatians 3:26, for in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. There's a family metaphor. Or adopted, if you want to stick with the family. You didn't adopt yourself. You didn't file the paperwork. God did that. So this is, I trust and hope, sort of an awakening, if you will. It kind of changes the, it readdresses the reason. Why did you come to church? Because I have a role. Very different. Very different perspective, I would argue, than why most people go to church today. Now, some of it's obvious. You ask me why I came to church today. Because I have a role. Right? So we've kind of created some problems here with employment in a church. Because the people that show up regularly and have a role are paid. And those that don't, I may go to church, I may not, based on I want to be encouraged, based on what my kids, but all these different other reasons, not because of a role you play. If there were no employees at the church, what would the church look like? So there's a danger a little bit of having employment and employees and staff because it gets delegated. And then the majority of the church says, I don't have a role, they have a role. And then we got a body that is handicapped because now the parts aren't functioning properly. Make sense? A little challenging, maybe a little different perspective. And let me highlight this because there's a lot of different ways that this can play out. So if you look in scripture, 114 times the word church is used. Ecclesia, I told you, it just means called out. 92 of those times, it's used in the context of local church. Corinth, Galatia, Corinthians, Ephesians. The rest is global church, the universal church. The church at large. And if you read in scripture, as a Christian, you're part of both, right? But the global church doesn't have a church service. The global church, most of the people are dead than alive because it goes all the way back to the beginning. And there's people part of the global church that aren't even know they know of that yet because it's into the future. So you may be part of the global church, but the only way you live out your role is through the local church. Kind of like being an American. You're American, you got a passport, you're an American. Well, how do you live out your Americanness in your local community, in your local town? You don't do it on a national level. And so this is where sometimes people say, well, I'm part of the bigger church at large, and I attend five different churches, but I don't really. I'm online and watch. Well, you're not living out, and you're definitely not going to achieve your potential in your role within the local community called the church with that approach, because you don't have five seat assignments. So this comes down to, where's your local church? What do you call your home church? And do you realize that you have a role there? Now, let's not stop though. Let's keep going, because he unpacks it a little more, brings more clarity, I would argue, as well. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less part of the body. So if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But that as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each one of them as he chose. So now Paul's having a little fun. He's got talking body parts. Okay? And he's creating a scenario where these body parts are having discussions about value, about which one's more important. And so he talks about how a foot would interact or perceive itself potentially in comparison to the hand. Okay? So the foot, I'm always under pressure. Always carrying the weight. Hot. Stinky. Covered up. Oh, to be a hand. Freedom. To touch. Put jewelry on. To wash. To embrace. The freedom. Be amazing to be a hand. Foot, not so much. Or we got ears versus eyes. Ear. I look weird. I only see one side of life. They try to dress me up with rings and piercings, but have you ever really looked at me? I'm weird looking. But the eye, colors, communicates, flirts. Oh, to be an eye, to see everything and not just one side. Then he makes the point. Okay, you can make those distinctions, but the reality is, the eye won't see half of what it sees because it can't hear without the ear. Something behind, something in front, something on the other side. The hand might be free, but it's going nowhere without the foot. So you can make these distinctions. You can say that's sexier than that, and that is more attractive than that. But the reality is all your body parts, members of the church, are important. And for all of them to operate in their seat assignment, that is a healthy body. Anything less of that is handicapped, is limited. So this is a discussion about interdependence. You have a spot. You have a role. Yes, you have a seat assignment. But here's the key. It's not for you. It's for us. It's for the rest of the church. Your role benefits the body. Your role benefits the church. An eye benefits the whole body. The whole body gets blessed because the eye can see things and navigate things, and they're not bumping into stuff and whatever. And so this is the key. And so this is that interdependence piece. And second point on how to achieve your potential at PCC, remember, we need each other. You need me, I need you. When we disconnect, we handicap the church. That's what Hebrews 10:25 meant, when it encouraged one another. And we'll go on and get this in a little more detail next week, but Peter said it this way, 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. So you're gifted, not for you, but for us. Earlier in the chapter, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, not your good, but the common good. So you get this? This is super important. This is the piece that, yes, you have a role, but your role isn't for you to feel fulfilled. Your role isn't for you to enjoy. Your role is to bless other people by using gifts, which we'll talk about next week, because that's where people get a little fuzzy. What does all that mean? Don't worry about it. If you know your gift, you know what I'm talking about. Now, you'll enjoy using your gift, but it's not for you. And again, employment-wise, we kind of understand that, because people step into their gift sets and get paid for it. So it's pretty obvious. What does Mark do? He preaches. What's his gift? Well, teaching. What's he get paid to do? Teaching. Okay, it's pretty clean. But when we stop talking about staff, what does Laura do in children's ministry? What are her gift sets? Oh, it's administration. She's got a gift of compassion. I could list them, and she's using all those. What, you know, middle school, what are they? How about you, though? That's where it's like, oh, I don't know. It's easy to know, and we'll deal with that. I just want you to know that it's there. We've called it a team. Okay, how about those Dodgers? Okay? I mean, did you watch that game? That was crazy. I'm not even a baseball fan, and I was on the edge of my seat. It's crazy. I mean, they're neck and neck, right? Great teams. Did you highlight that? Great teams. How did the Dodgers win? Each player played their part, and I would argue, well, it wasn't just pitching. I mean, some of those catches were unbelievable. Some of those double plays were unbelievable. Now, what if one of the players just said, I'm not going to go out in the third inning? That would handicap the team. We've talked about this in terms of Team PCC. We're a team. You all have a position to play. You all have a role to fulfill. And when you don't do it, it's like one of the Dodgers not going out in the seventh inning. It's going to handicap the team. And the team probably won't win, especially if the pitcher doesn't go out. So this is why it will change how you go to church. I mean, if you think about it, it should change how, because now you're not just here for you and your benefit, you're here for us and our benefit. It's not just about you and your family, it's about us and the family of God. It's not what you can get out of it, it's what you can give into it. And this is where online church falls short. And I would argue hurts the church if you call that your church. Because how are you going to fulfill your role and step into your gifting to bless nobody in the room? Now, I'm not nailing online. Obviously, we have online, and there's value to online, and some of it's convenience, and some of it, you know, helps people to visit even a church before they show up in person and all those kinds of things. But the reality is, you got to live this out in person. You can't do it electronically, I mean, that I know of, or it will be limited. Now, maybe you can't. Maybe you're online and you can use your gifting and you're blessing your church that you never go to. I don't know how that works. But I know how this works. So employment, online, can impact this. Bouncing around. How do you bounce around on different flights? Right? So where does this put you? Well, technically, if I said, so why do you come to church? Well, here's what God says. Because you have a role to fulfill, and you need us, and we need you. That's why you're here, according to God. Now, based on that answer versus the answer we started with, where do you line up? What needs to adjust? What are some steps that can be taken? We'll talk about that next week, actual practical steps. But this week, I just want you to really just process the directive of this, the philosophy of this, the perspective of what church is. You're not just an audience in a building with a guy up there doing a lecture. It's way more significant than that, and it took the cross to accomplish it, by the way. And you're part of the body, whether you know it or not, or whether you even want to be or not, because you didn't make yourself part of the body, God did. So a lot of it's going to be self-discovery. Some of you have been at it longer than others. Some of you, it's just this is a brand new thought. It's like, what? I was going to church. This isn't just church. This is a lot more from God's perspective. So spend some time on those daily devotions in the back that I know you do, but it'll take it a little further for you, and I think in a personal way. And I would encourage the Grow groups to really unpack that this week as well. And if you don't know, you don't know, and that's okay. But now we know. We need to know more, but at least we're on the road to boarding the plane. Becoming part of the body. Lord, we thank you for that truth. We know it wasn't easy. The only way we're a spiritual family, the only way we're part of the body is because of the cross and your sacrifice for us. So Lord, if we've minimized that in any way, I pray that it gets elevated this week, that we're not just attending a meeting to get some information. We're actually coming together as body parts to the body. And Lord, if we don't know how to function or where to function or what our gifting is and all that, Lord, I just pray that you would start to reveal some of those things. But in particular, Lord, that we would just take this a little more serious because we know that's how a beautiful church is. And Lord, I just can only imagine that if we, or any church, everybody just understood their gifting and stepped into it, we would have no needs. They'd be fulfilled. We'd have no wants. They would be fulfilled because your church is complete. But Lord, we know that we got a ways to go before we're there. And I know each step we take is a step that will please you and bless us. So I just pray for that awakening, Holy Spirit, teach in every one of us. Maybe some of us know our gift, our role, and we've stepped away from it. It's time to step back in. Maybe for others, we don't even know what the step is, and so we can start to explore. But either way, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being part of your body and to have the hope of heaven and the promise of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.